From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in 2016 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. A 40-year-old African-American driver, Terrence Crutcher, was shot and killed by a white police officer. He was unarmed, standing in the middle of the street. It was one of many instances that sparked nationwide conversations about police misconduct. People searched for ways to express themselves about this, and one man in Rochester, Britton Bradford, channeled his emotions into his artwork. He recreated a scene from Childish Gambino's This Is America music video. For Bradford, sharing these messages and pieces of history is a vital part of what it means to be a creator. Born and raised on the east side of Rochester, Bradford grew up admiring Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan. Like many other young men around him, he was inspired by, yes, basketball players and hip-hop artists, but he felt like he still hadn't found a true space where he could express his own voice. He wanted to find a way to speak for himself and cope with the unique experiences that he had endured as a child. And it wasn't until he discovered abstract artists like Basquiat and Keith Haring that he realized that there are many ways to make your voice heard, not just through language. Now, he's a successful artist, and he wishes that this form of expression was given to him sooner. A local designer named Christopher Washington agrees, and like Bradford, he grew up with aspirations to become a basketball player, maybe, thinking professional sports was one of the only paths to a successful career. Well, this hour, both men back with us in studio sharing their stories and talking about how to change the culture of expectations, especially for kids in the African-American community in Rochester. And in our studio, welcome back to Britton Bradford, an artist. Thanks for making the time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And also with us is Christopher Washington, an entrepreneur, among many other possible titles. It's nice to see you back here. Thanks for
being
here.
Thank you for having me.
You're both 30 years old now.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm sorry to say. And you grew up in Rochester.
Yes, sir.
On the east side of Rochester. Where'd you grow up?
Yeah, over on the Carter and Portland area.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up off Hudson on Upper Falls.
All right. And just briefly, when it comes to your childhoods, what's the first memory of childhood that comes to mind for you, Britton?
Playing basketball and dodgeball up at Carter Street Rec Center.
Is it a good memory?
Yeah, definitely. It was like an everyday thing. I like the summer camp was pretty amazing, I feel like. To go back and have all those memories of all those moments, just playing sports and running around as a kid and not having bills. You know,
so it's like that's part of life that it's just hard for kids to understand, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I wanted to grow up so bad until I became an adult. Now I'm adulting and, you know, bills and student loans and stuff like that.
No, I hear you. Christopher, what's the first memory of childhood that comes to mind for you?
I just think of opportunity. When I was younger, my mom, my grandma, my grandmas, they just did things to make sure that I can travel and just experience things. So in the midst of me growing up around some tough things that I did not see for what they were, when I think back on my childhood, I just think of the areas but the opportunities I was always opened up to.
What's the hardest memory of your childhood?
I just say losing friends, like having friends killed. You know, I remember one time I was in Atlanta when I was 18, and this was probably like the biggest, most realistic thing to bring me into how things go. But I remember being in Atlanta and I was 18 years old and I got a message on MySpace from a friend that another friend from school had just got shot in his head. And that was just the most reality for me to step into. You know, I'm out in Atlanta on a college tour and having fun with family. And to get that message was just like, boom, the real world. And from there, you know, it happened a lot more often.
Britton, what's the hardest memory for you from childhood?
I'm probably going to go and agree with Chris. Pretty sure, like, we know we have a lot of mutual friends and stuff, you know, so in a lot of the situations that have occurred, you know, throughout, like, high school and things like that, just with losing friends. Like, I can remember my ninth grade year, lost one of my really close friends, and it was kind of crazy because it was literally like maybe 2 weeks into school in our freshman year. So like that's one of those things that you don't really forget it. And just trying to figure out learning how to like cope with things like that, you know, it's just tough.
How did you cope?
Mostly sports. I would say probably growing up, anything that had happened, either sports or music, was like my go-to. Mostly because that's what I knew, like that's what I would see, and it was easy to go to those places, you know, through those mediums. You know, there's basketball court everywhere. Always playing basketball. Mm-hmm. I think I probably spent most of my days just playing. Like, I'd probably get up, you know, some in the summer, like some days, like 6 a.m, and just go to different courts all day, and just play ball.
How did you cope, Chris, when you were dealing with loss?
I just, at an early age, I just began taking time, and I didn't know that it was considered like meditating then, but I would just sit with my thoughts a lot. And like Britton, I played basketball. We went to Monroe High School mm-hmm. together. You know, playing basketball, that was like the expression piece of it, but just sitting back and really thinking on these things, you know, because as a kid, I said when I was 18, my best friend got killed. Mm-hmm. But before then, you know, I had lost other people in my life as well. And like sitting back and just thinking on, you know, being a young man and not knowing how you're supposed to make things happen, or even, you know, having the thoughts about death yourself when you're so around it. So sitting back and just really thinking on these things, that was something that was a big piece of my understanding and growth.
Part of the reason that Britton and Christopher are with us today is because they are admired people in our community, and we've really enjoyed having a chance to sit down with them and hear about some of their stories. And we're not here to malign basketball. We're not here to malign sports. It's more of a conversation about how many avenues of opportunity kids are seeing, and is it enough, and is it broad enough, and what happens if you don't see a whole lot of avenues of opportunity? But I mean, certainly sports can have a great influence, and I am curious to know which of you was a better player in your
life. I'm not that guy these days, but I would say probably back then. Probably just based off high school and accolades, you know, winning titles and stuff like that. But that's not.
You're
to
saying
say.
You were
I'm,
back
I'm,
then.
I'm saying I was, but just for where we are today, sitting, it's like
I mean, I could definitely give him that in high school. He was a way better player. I don't think today.
If
I
you
can.
Were playing by ones to 11, what would the final score be?
It would still happen today, and I win. It's a fact.
I mean.
But the score would be up in the air. We've played, you know, in the recent years, but.
Yeah,
I feel like basketball is a thing that's just sort of, I say for myself, mm-hmm. it's not behind me because of how active I am in the field right now, helping Section 5 athletes and stuff. But as far as me sitting across from Britton thinking, I'll dunk on you right now, it's like, that's not one of the big, big thoughts in my mind, you know?
Is that fair?
You know, I don't think I'll get dunked. I haven't been dunked on in a long time. You know, but I would probably say that basketball is probably still something that's pretty relevant for me, only because I'm still kind of playing here and there, you know, with some opportunity actually coming up pretty soon. So, you know, got to get back to that, waking up every day mm-hmm. and running and lifting. Now that I'm thinking about it, I don't really know, you know, that running every day is something I want to be doing at 30.
Wait till you're 40. I'm 10 years older than you. I've got no left hand anymore. How many points could I get off you in a one-on-one game?
Oh, none.
I couldn't.
Nine.
I couldn't.
Nah, score. You probably get a couple points.
I don't know. Just jacking from 30 feet and praying, I guess. But when you're growing up, I mean, so you guys are growing up in the same sort of space. You have a competitive rivalry, but you're also dealing with a lot of things that are pretty heavy as kids. And I'm curious to know, especially when you're 14, 15, 16, and Britton, I'll start with you on this. What are you thinking that life is going to look like for you as an adult? What are you hoping it looks like, and what are you thinking the options are?
I mean, at that age, the only thing that I had on my mind was the NBA. When you know, traumas like that would occur, I don't think that I was necessarily thinking about the next day so much. I think I was more or less in a space where I'm feeling like, well, I have to get through this day, you know? And once I get through this day, then we'll see, you know, what the thought is tomorrow. But I think, like I said, basketball was just a constant only because it was so tangible. It was literally right there. So, you know, thinking past that age wasn't really a focal point for me at that point in time. You know, it was just, like I said, more or less, today is what it is, mm-hmm. and we'll see what tomorrow brings.
If I would have asked you, the 15-year-old version of you, do you think you're going to play in the NBA, you would have said what?
I would have said, I know I'm playing in the NBA.
You do?
Yeah. Even though at that point in time, I wasn't very good. We were in Monroe, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Knife.
That was it. That was going to be it. Okay. Christopher, same kind of question. 14, 15 years old. What are you thinking about your options? What are you thinking realistically you're going to do?
Basketball was a big thing on the menu, but one, like, the main thing, and I still have this written down on papers from back then, was just, like, to be a big figure and be able to make an impact in my city. That was always the thing. So I picture myself, you know, going to the NBA and doing these things, and my mindset would always bring me back to, like, when I get my first checks, I'm going to come and do this for the kids. And when I do, you know, when I receive this, I'm going to come give this to the areas that I've been in. And those are just constant thoughts, and I've sort of kept those same thoughts up until now.
We have a very unequal society. I have a lot of appreciation and admiration for the idea that when I make it, I'm coming back and I'm going to spread some of this success around to people. But now that, you know, you're an adult, you're in your 30s, is it frustrating to you to see how much inequality there is? I mean, it shouldn't be all on shoulders of people like you to go back and sort of try to level things out, if that makes sense.
For me, it's just about truth. So honestly, like, those inequalities, like, I could be one of the guys that goes through life and, like, you know, I'm upset because this person can do this. I can do anything I want to. And that's why I give back and do the things that I do with the athletes and the other students now, is because we all have it. We have it within us, and it's not just about money. So, you know, being in a position to watch other people not utilize their resources, it doesn't make me upset. It just keeps me on track to know that when these things align exactly how I see them, I still know what I'm going to do with the opportunity.
So when did your vision of your future change? We've talked a little bit about this on the program in the past, but for those who don't remember the full story, let's kind of go over this. When did you really start to see a different path for your future?
So I started Top Flight in 2011, which was like my business, and that just started showing me to just think bigger. So through Top Flight, I was doing photo and video, the clothing line started, and motivational speaking. I started doing all those things in 2011. I did it before then, but 2011 is when it got a name and opportunity. And when I came to WXXI last time, that's when something was really, really birthed. You know, I can't remember who asked me. It might have been you, because you brought basketball to the table. And you said, how does it feel to do something for the current athletes now? And what I realized in that moment was I was here because of Fashion Week, and people have recognized me for many different reasons, and I get paid for that. I get flown out places for that. I get opportunity for that. And for these athletes watching me, that's not doing anything for them but showing them. So last time at WXXI, we spoke, and I told myself, like, I vowed to get back in the community and do, like, 100 athletes, I would do mixtapes and videos and stories to help them, you know, be seen as more than just athletes and then have more opportunity. So literally, I remember it was just like an emotional day getting asked those questions, and I sat in that seat, and I just said, okay, we're going to go for 100 athletes, and today we're probably roughly around 300, 400, and just still going.
Wow. No, it was a powerful conversation for us as well, understanding that. Do you look back now and think you would have liked to have been thinking about, whether it was fashion, all of these other different avenues that you've created for yourself, do you wish you were thinking about that earlier in your life as opposed to just basketball?
Not at all.
You don't?
Not at all. The stories and the places that I've been, some of the wild things that I've seen, right or wrong, I'm glad for those experiences, because now when I step in with these athletes, I can tell them anything that I've been hanging out with your favorite rappers to I've been hanging out with your favorite Christian artists. Just being in all of these different places in life, I'm very thankful to be right where I am right now. Even, you know, it's I could be outside of Rochester doing bigger things, but I realize my place and the timing is everything.
Okay. Britton, when did your vision for your future start to change?
I would probably say probably roughly around 4 or 5 years ago, only because I was still playing pro basketball.
Why don't you walk us through what you did in your late teen years into your 20s then, and then we'll kind of talk about that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, I graduated from School of the Arts, and I ended up going to MCC where I would continue, like, my degree in arts and graphic design. And I ended up playing basketball for them that year. I'm pretty sure we finished, was it fifth in the nation for the NGCAA. And, you know, I took some time after that, I guess, to just kind of put myself in a different headspace. And then I kind of revisited basketball and ended up playing professionally for a few, or semi-professionally for a few different teams. You know, I've done like some NBA D-League stuff, mm-hmm. Played in some tournaments down in New York, some NBA guys.
Competition's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's completely different. I would definitely say, though, that Rochester basketball is a lot different than New York basketball.
How so?
We move a lot more than they do in New York. Yeah, New York is kind of it's a little bit of a show.
Well, a lot of ISO, a lot of hero ball.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Rochester's a lot of, you know, fast break, getting up and down the floor. You know, so then those couple years or few years playing pro, I kind of realized, you know, all the time that I had on my hands, and I was saying to myself, you know, I could definitely do something more. And it kind of wasn't really until I came back to Rochester after my first season when a couple of kids that I coached, you know, ran up to me and were like, yo, you know, we want to be like you. We saw, you know, you playing basketball here and there. And I'm like, and in my head, I didn't realize how big it was at that point in time, you know, becoming a role model, you know. I guess I didn't know how many eyes were on me. So kind of in that moment, I realized I have to be more than just a basketball player.
So when those kids are saying, we want to do what you're doing, what's going through your mind? Are you thinking, no, you don't? Or are you thinking, what's going through your mind there?
My mind was blown. Only because that's something that, you know, I remember, you know, meeting NBA guys. I'm pretty sure Chris can, like, you know, kind of agree with this. We would see those guys, and it's like, whether we said it out loud or not, we're kind of having that thought, like, yo, like, I'm standing next to, you know, so-and-so, and yep. This is where I want to be, and this is what I want to be like. It really took a minute for me to digest it all. The thoughts of it, of someone, you know, telling me that they want to do something that I'm doing, or they want to be in a position that I'm in. Because, you know, before that, up to that point, I had never really experienced that. And like I said, it just kind of, at that moment, changed my mindset. Because now I realize how many eyes are on me, how many people are seeing what I'm doing, the type of person that I have to kind of become, and, you know, doing more than just basketball. And that was when the art kind of stood out, because I could always, you know, I always drew and painted because, you know, School of the Arts, but it wasn't until I got, like I said, older and came back after that season that I realized, and I kind of sat with myself, and I said, well, what else can I do? Because I don't really want to work for other people. You know, I don't want to punch a clock. And the art was the answer for me.
Why in that moment, when those students are looking at you and sort of admiring what you're doing and saying, I want to be like you, why do you think in your own mind you went beyond basketball? Why wasn't basketball enough at that moment?
Because I immediately kind of went back to my childhood and seeing and really seeing these basketball players and telling myself, like, this is what I want to be, but not really getting their full story so to a degree, you know, like, you know, the superstars, we know those stories, but there are other basketball players, you know, other guys in the league who were our favorite players who we would see. We didn't really know the entire story behind, you know, why they were who they were, how they got here, what else they're doing, you know, and these are our role models. So, it, like I said, at that moment, it just became, for me, you know, what else can I do? What more can I do? Because my biggest thing with anything in life is, you know, obtaining knowledge for the purpose of passing it on, you know? So how could I build something more than just athletics and show other people that, you know, everything is, even if you want to do this, you still have to be more than what this is. And there are other options. There are other things you can do.
Most pro and semi-pro athletes who are not at the top level, you know, money's tight, life's tough.
Oh, yeah.
It can be hard. Was it tough?
Yeah, it was definitely tough. You know, you make X amount of dollars. And, you know, when you're younger, you don't really think about, you know, that money continuously coming in. You get it. You're excited to have it. And it's like, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I want to go out. I want to, you know, I want to have fun. And you kind of have to take a step back from yourself and realize, well, this is not as residual as I may think it is. You know, I could get hurt at any moment also.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think I spent most of my rookie year, like, on the bench with a knee injury, you know, and that kind of sucked. Not gonna lie.
You're right, and the money can be gone in a minute.
Oh, yeah, fast.
And I take Christopher's point when he says he's looking at his life not wishing it were different, that he's building off what he's learned and has had these experiences and can now share with kids who have been in sort of similar dreams, similar situations.
Mm.
Do you wish you had thought about something besides basketball earlier in your life?
I honestly can't say that I do, because, you know, just like with Chris, every experience you have contributes to the person that you are or you're becoming. You know, you change one thing about my past and I'm a different person, you know. And I think the person that I am now is definitely somebody that can affect a change in people, whether it's youth or even people in my own age group. So no, I don't think that I would go back and change anything, or that I wish anything was really any different.
Sure. After our only break of the hour, a very different question to that is what they would want kids to know now. Mm. You know, not necessarily changing what's happened for themselves, because, as I mentioned, they are admired people in our community, and I think they feel like their story is their story, and they're proud to own it. But what about kids now? When we think about kids growing up in Rochester, what do people like Britton Bradford, Christopher Washington want them to know about possible paths, options for careers, life after school, life maybe after sports? We'll talk a little bit about that coming up here. And I want them to get us a full picture of how they're feeling every week now, because they're busy. They got a lot going on. Britton Bradford, Christopher Washington, our guests this hour, and we're right back with them on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, we sit down with Dr. Luis Quinones, who started out as a high school teacher in New Mexico in the 1980s. At the time, assimilation was the goal, especially for students of Mexican descent. Learn English, learn the stories of the great white men who founded this country. Quinones had a different view of how education should be done, not just in New Mexico, but in cities like Rochester. We'll talk about it next hour. Our guests are here talking about their career. They're growing up in Rochester, and some of the lessons that they would want other kids who are coming from areas where they grew up to kind of think about now. And our guests not only are, I think, here because of their own skills and talents and what they're sharing with the community, but the people around them, you should hear the way they talk about Christopher and Britton. I mean, just really just singing the praises of two really powerful voices in our community now. So Britton, you kind of gave us that picture that took you to those moments where you kind of thought, I want to think more beyond just sports. You had painted, you had done some drawing.
Mm-hmm.
How do you translate that to, though, to actual art on a, either a daily basis, a career? What happened next for you?
Well, really what happened next, it's funny because it was actually all kind of by chance. I did a painting with the purpose of putting it on a T-shirt. And someone saw the painting because I posted it on social media. It's funny how fast things happen on social media, too. I posted it, and I immediately got, you know, like 10 different inboxes about buying the piece, and I sold it. And from there, it was just kind of a continuous thing. Like, I do want to do my clothing, but it just, it kind of took a backseat to the canvas work.
Were you sort of amazed or fired up by the idea that someone's going to pay you for a painting?
Oh, yeah. You know, because up until that point, you know, all you really hear is the starving artist side of things. And that was all I really knew up until that point. And then once it happened, I kind of was a little blown away. I'm like, wait, so you're willing to pay me this much for something I just sat and painted? And it was like, well, I think I'm going to keep doing this, you know. And I, aside from the fact that I love it, and it's just, for me, a way to cope with everyday life and, you know, just things that you may feel or just run into.
What do you work with the most as an artist?
Ooh, I would probably say that I use, I probably paint more than anything. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to gauge it only because I have so many different projects with so many different types of mediums that it just kind of depends on the day and how I'm feeling, like, you know, what kind of image I'm looking to create or what colors I want to use, just, you know, stuff like that.
Is there an average day for you in terms of the output of art?
I can't say that there's like an average day because I work on so many different projects at one time. You know, I
could give us a sense for what's going on now.
Well, I'm finishing up the live painting piece from the Garth Fagan event. Mm-hmm. Have quite a few commissions. Have some graphic work that I am doing currently with a couple brands, a couple album covers. And then, you know, trying to gear up for a possible solo show at some point. So just trying to maximize, you know, my materials and my output as far as that goes. Like I said, I work on like 3 or 4 different things at one time.
How do you get clients?
For the most part, a lot of it is social media.
Where are you on social so people can check you out?
I'm on Facebook and Instagram. My social media handles are Unison, spelled UN1SUN. Yeah, a lot of it is social media. You know, there's still a lot of word of mouth, you know, and business cards and, you know, showing up to events. But realizing or learning how to use the social media as an advertisement tool was a big part of my career. You know, when Instagram came out, when Instagram and Facebook came out with the, you know, ability to pay $5 to put up an ad that reaches, you know, a couple thousand people, that kind of changed everything, like in a moment's notice. So I think, most of how I advertise myself is through social media.
Every artist has a different approach to creating. I mean, some artists, some writers, whatever the genre is, they will force themselves to create in a certain window of time and a certain number of days in a week. Others will do it when it strikes them. I mean, like, how do you operate? Because if you're on deadline, that's one thing. I mean, you got to work. But generally, how do you operate?
When I'm on deadline, like you said, you know, that's different.
You got
to work. Yeah, you got to get it done in X amount of time. And my deadline pieces, I try to finish, I don't want to say as fast as I can. I just try to get them done in a timely fashion only because I usually will have multiple deadline pieces. But my own personal work, you know, the stuff that I want to go, whether it's an image on, you know, clothing or something I want to put in a solo show, I kind of take my time with that stuff. I'm a bit of a perfectionist, so even the work that is out there now, I still feel like there are little things that I need to work on and tweak. But for the most part, a lot of that stuff, I'll skip around and do one painting here, or do a piece of a painting here and then move on to the next one.
When did you really know you were good? High school? Earlier?
I would like to say high school. The way I look at it is, you know, you're never done learning. So I'm constantly, you know, whether I'm on YouTube or Facebook or just Googling like new techniques and trying to find new ideas and figure out ways on how to do things. I can't really say that I've thought about it too much, to be honest.
The reason I ask is watching my own son grow up. It's interesting seeing the art projects he brings home. And he's going to be 8 this month. There's a huge variation in what people are naturally born with being able to do with art. I didn't have anything. You know, you could really teach me for months and I could probably learn certain techniques, but I could never really be great. I'm convinced that I could never be great. Do you think you were born with something? I mean, or do you go back to teaching and training?
I feel like I had a little something there. I think my mom still has it too. A comic book that I drew when I was in like first grade. It was like a comic book with me and like an old Transformer Optimus Prime, because that was the thing back then. I think I might have had a little something there.
What was the story in the comic book?
You know, I can't really remember it too much. I know I saved the world.
That's good.
I do remember that.
That's good. You and Optimus saving the world.
Yeah.
Do you want to get back into comics? Would you do that?
Oh, yeah, I would love to. I would love to get back into comics. I have some stories that I'm working on. I was pretty recently, through social media, was fortunate enough to speak to the director of the old 90s X-Men cartoon, who gave me a lot of tips and tricks on like how to get the story to be, you know, cohesive. I was also fortunate enough in my rookie year to meet a guy named Casey Bannon, who was a writer for Marvel way back when they did like Vampirella comics, those kind of books. And, you know, they just continually coach me on things, you know, whether I need to learn how to build from other perspectives or even, you know, just world building in itself.
So when you were trying to play pro basketball, you hurt your knee.
Mm-hmm.
If you hurt your knee today, do you have health care coverage to deal with it?
Yeah. yeah, I
mean, another thing artists struggle with.
Yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, I wouldn't hurt my knee today at 30 after not working out for a while. only because I don't know what that would look like. But, I do. And it's definitely something that I would say, you know, there's like Medicaid and things like that. You know, people definitely should look into those options because they are necessary. You never know when something could happen. Mm-hmm.
And so now you look ahead next 5-10 years.
Mm-hmm.
If they go the way you want them to go, how are you going to spend most of the next 5-10 years in terms of art?
Ooh, really, really busy. I'm currently working on like, you know, building the YouTube thing just to, you know, build on, the process and how I do things and moving around in the art community, in the art world. I'm trying to set up, you know, like some murals and things to travel, and just kind of show people, you know, whether it's adults or children, that, you know, you can use your talents to live a very comfortable life or even, you know, an exciting life. You know, there's more than just what you see. And if you are open to those options, if you do see those things, then I just want to basically kind of give a guide as to how to go about moving into that lane, into that world.
Britton Bradford is on social under the name Unison.
Yes,
UN1
S-U-N.
Is in the number. S-U-N. Unison. Which means what, by the way?
Is one people under one sun.
I love that. I love it. Christopher Washington, give us a sense for how you're spending most of your work time these days.
These days, basically what I've done is I've taken my story and my life and basically cashed it in to make it beneficial for everybody that I encounter in this lifetime. I just mean like every human, everybody I talk to, I want to be able to impart some type of positivity or something to be able to show them different. So as far as my work now, and I don't really like to consider it work, is I go to the games for the athletes. I monitor what they do. I film practices. I build short documentaries, full documentaries, highlights, college reels, whatever, you know, wherever you are in your journey, my job, air quotes, is to assist. So me being the guy behind the media, I come in and I document your story. I put it together and we ship it off to colleges all across the state. And we never know until you get results on where it takes you. So for me, my days are, I wake up, edit, go film, wake up, edit, go film. Like, that's the most simplistic that I can put it in, a simplistic form.
Next 5 to 10 years, what do you want them to look like for you?
It'll just be like building an empire, honestly. Like, last year I premiered a film at the Memorial Art Gallery for two athletes, Miles and Michael Brown from North Star Christian. Miles was the leading scorer in Section 5, and also I think he was, I forget what number in New York State, but just being able to see what it means to build a legacy. And I'm doing these things for so many different athletes, and not only in the realm of basketball, to where parents are telling me things like, you know, you're the difference between my kid going to St. Bonaventure and Seton Hall. Things like that are just showing me that it's not even so much, it's not about me, and it's not about my work or what's going to happen for me in the next 5 to 10 years, but more so like every single person that I encounter, what happens for you? Because what I do for me is gonna be, you know, my personal life, but what I'm devoted to right now is just helping people see different.
But people want you to get paid, they want you to eat.
Yeah, you know, and that's a big part when it's me, because I'm just very genuine in this, because Britton, I know that you can say for a fact, and any other athlete that would sit across from me, if I had somebody who focused more on helping me, mm-hmm. or would have showed me to the world when we were this young.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You would have treated everything different.
Definitely.
And that still doesn't exist. So I have to exist in that realm. And for me, I put them benefiting before me worrying about digging in their pockets. You know, I do get paid from this. That's very clear. But when it comes down to it, if you had a child that could do something great and it took a video from me, we have to figure out whatever we have to figure out to make
get it
happen.
Done.
Yeah, you know, and like me shaking you down and flipping you upside down to the right amount of money comes out is not going to equate to Britton going to MCC when he could have went to a Division I or Division II school off the back. And he could have skipped that whole junior college process. Those are the things that I think about.
So when you talk about you want to be that person because there's still kids who don't have someone like that, showing them different options. I mean, it sounds to me, Christopher, like you want these reels to show, if it's a basketball player, somebody who has a lot of skill, but also maybe a lot of skill in a lot of different things in their life.
It's like who you are. When I was, you know, when I was 17, 18 at Bishop Kearney, this was a fact. I knew. I've been mentoring since I was 14, you know, at that time, giving back, working with families, different kids and things like that through a program that I was working with. And I could feel that when I was out there dunking on people and winning titles, that was important. But my personal life, to be talking about mentorship and like wanting to see kids do good, that wasn't important to everyone else. And I could just feel that, you know, it's like, get out there on the court and go do what we need. Save the other stuff for later. And I'm not saying the staff at Bishop Kearney, this is just that lifetime, like where I was in life. I just knew you dunking on people is more important than how much you're trying to help. And that's something that I just held ever since then.
So outside of basketball then, if you've got to play a role that the kids don't often have, where should it come from? I mean, do the schools need to do more to educate about different career paths? I mean, I'd love to hear from both of you on this. I mean,
I believe so. But you know, that's the thing for me is that I know that's not what they're paid to do. You know, so they move according to what the money is going to guide them to do. Your job is to teach the kids X, Y, and Z. That's not, money doesn't move me that way, you know? So being in a position, I'm like the living example. I want to show the kids, like, even with my personal social media and what I do in my life, it's like, I want to show you guys that I come to your games. You don't even know me. Some of you don't. You know, I come to your games. I'll do this for you. I'll connect with your families. And then you'll see me in LA working with these people. And then you'll see me in Hawaii spending time like this. And it's like, I just want to be the living example. When I'm here, I'm on my job and I'm helping you. And when I'm away, I'm showing you what's possible on the other side. And when it comes down to schools and stuff, I can't really say. I just hope that, you know, people could actually dig into their hearts and genuinely care, you know, to see the kids succeed outside of just getting that diploma and then walking out of the door.
So, Britton, what about you?
I mean, I definitely feel the same exact way. And while we're on the subject, yeah. I do have to say I have a lot of respect for Chris, because he did something that a lot of people wouldn't think to do. And it's something that, you know, now I'm trying to teach the younger athletes that I come into contact with, or just anybody that's, you know, looking for other outlets. And that was, he branded himself. He used what he knew and he created a brand for himself, you know, rather than trying to like work with, you know, like Nike or Reebok or anything like that. I'm pretty sure if he wants to, he could, you know, but it just goes back to what he's saying, like the example. He found a way to take what he knew and monetize it in a way that he could use to give back to his community. And it's just the same thing. You know, any opportunity that I can get to speak to people or even, you know, teach or show, I gladly take it. Because like I said before, like that's what everything is really about. You go through life to gain knowledge with the purpose, I feel like, of passing it on. You know, and everything you do, every step you take, there's a teachable moment for not just you, but someone else. And, you know, it's just like you said, I wish that there were better ways or easier ways to really push that out into the community so that people could see that. But for now, you know, we're the examples of what we're doing. Like we're practicing what we preach.
Speaking of how you're impacting people, David from talkofthetown.com sends us an email that says, "Hi, Evan, back in 2017, Che Holloway interviewed Bradford."
Definitely did, yes.
And the interview sparked Che's imagination. Che went on to conduct 106 more interviews. And he says, "I think the article on Bradford helped motivate and inspire Che in his interview quest. So thanks, Britton, for being the first in the Che of the Town interviews 1 to 107 series."
Jeez.
106 more. Wow. After you.
Yeah, I didn't realize that I was the first interview.
Is that wild?
yeah, that's big. I actually went to high school with Che Holloway, who, you know, is doing a lot of really good things right now too. But yeah, I didn't realize that I was the first interview.
And that was like 3 years ago, something like that?
Yeah.
So you went to high school with Che. Che's doing this. You're talking about ways to help the community. Christopher, you're talking about what you're doing to help the community. That's a lot on your individual shoulders. And I respect you all so much for that. If kids who are growing up now, especially if African-American boys are growing up thinking rap career, basketball, that's pretty much the paths. If that's the mindset, and similar to how you had, Britton, mm-hmm. what worries you about that?
The only thing about that would worry me is that I don't feel like, one, I'm not going to tell anybody, you know, don't play basketball, don't
rap.
I
hear that, yeah.
You know, because that's your dream, and follow your dream, because any dream you have is achievable. At the same time, learn how to monetize yourself, you know, because the first thing that a lot of companies will do as a rapper or athlete, they'll give you an endorsement deal and they'll make more money off of you than you'll make from that deal. You know, and like I said earlier, what Chris did, he learned to monetize himself with Top Flight, which is amazing. You know, and that's something that I feel like, even if you know for an undeniable fact you want to play basketball, let's say, you know, having a clothing brand or a label of your own, it wouldn't hurt. You know, it is something that teaches you responsibility, teaches you how to move within the realms of the business world, and also it gives you another outlet.
In case you blow out a knee.
Yeah.
Or you're good, but you're not as, yeah, not as good, I mean, as you hope you are.
The thing, you can't play forever. You know, I'm 30 and I have an opportunity to continue playing, but I mean, let's be honest, maybe 36, maybe, you know, it just depends. You know, I've had injuries in my past. I don't know if those will flare up again, but the one thing I do know is that I'm also an artist. I have other avenues, I have other lanes. I have other people in my life that, you know, are willing to help me, you know, continue to explore those lanes, you know? And it's just like, you know, what Chris is saying, like if these were things that the schools would, you know, probably get more on board with teaching, is, you know, learning how to monetize and how to build businesses for yourself, I feel like the picture would be a lot different.
Mm-hmm. I say bigger than just monetizing yourself is knowing your value. True. You know, you asked him a question earlier, like when he knew things, and I think that's what was dangerous for me, is that I knew in ninth grade at Monroe, I knew how great I was, and I had everybody telling me and everybody showing me every night I went on the court from that point on. And just, you have to know how to handle it. So to any, and this is not just for young African-American men, anybody, any young people, find a mentor, mm-hmm. find somebody. I don't care if they look like you or they don't. If you can connect with that person, find somebody that's going to try and help guide you in the right direction. Because I realized I was guiding myself. I guided myself, and I'm glad to have created Top Flight and followed my ideas and see everybody get it here in Rochester and in other states. But just finding a mentor is something. And for me, that's a role that I step into for all of these kids. And as they write me online and ask me for videos, a lot of them write me and they ask me about advice. You know, what does it mean to be great? How can I be better? You know, how did you start this? Or what can I do for myself to be more than just an athlete? And these are things that, like, we all think about as humans. This is not mm-hmm. just a basketball thing. It's not just an African-American thing. This is for everybody. We all want to be better, and everybody just doesn't have those same opportunities towards resources. Mm-hmm. And I feel like as humans, once again, it's not about race or anything else. It's our job to be able to open that door for someone that you could sit and look at and know you can physically, mentally, or whatever, do something for this person.
Where will our listeners find you online?
My Instagram is @UniversalChris_, and I spend a lot of time on the athletic page, which is Top Flight Season, Top Flight SZN, and that's where you can go find all of the athletes and everybody in that realm.
So that's what that SZN, I see SZN, it's like on social media all the time. You know, the Cleveland Browns have a new head coach, and it's fullback SZN, fullback season. I just learned something.
Yep, Top Flight Season, that's it.
SZN.
Mm-hmm.
And as we get ready to wrap here, Britton, you just heard Christopher offering his advice, find a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about what success means, maybe challenge yourself, but also know that if you're mentoring yourself, I mean, if you're sort of kind of doing it on your own, it can be tough. You might not always see every path. What advice would you have?
I would go with that same thing, you know, find a mentor also. Learn your limits, know your limits, and then break them. Because the only limit you really truly have is that which you create in your mind. You know, you can do, any of us, you can do anything. It depends on whether or not you believe that you can do anything, you know, and also just positivity. Speak as much life into yourself and other people as you can, because that's one of the things that, you know, it can change the vibe of an entire area, an entire town, you know, if that happens. So, you know, break limits, positivity.
Regarding career pathways, WXXI's American graduate getting to work over the last couple of years has been part of the national conversation with the Getting to Work initiative. It's about advancing education and career readiness in our region by building awareness of different career pathways. And you can check out more WXXI.org/grad if you want to do that. Britton Bradford and Christopher Washington, you've heard their stories, and I think you know why we wanted to bring them back here now. Britton Bradford, again, is online as an artist under the name Unison, U-N, the number one, S-U-N, and is working. Always on deadline, but
always
still available for work.
Yeah, trying.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing your story. Christopher Washington, one more time, online where?
@UniversalChris_ on Instagram, and Top Flight Season also on Instagram.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing your knowledge and your expertise as well. Two remarkable stories, sir. More connections coming up next.